In our parsha,
did he steal it?
That's what it looked on the surface. You see, that's exactly the point. Yeah. We read the parsha, we read the story, and we look at it, and it's very interesting. And if you don't try and understand what's going on here, so Yaakov is really a liar. He is a cheater. He's a thief. He's a deceiver. You can call him a lot of names.
Bad son.
But how is the Torah calling him? Titen emet li Yaakov. He is the pillar of truth. Yaakov. Which already calling Yaakov the pillar of truth puts everything in a very strange light. What? This is truth? This is what we should learn? To lie? To try and buy things that are worth a fortune for nothing? Like Esav is selling his Bchorah, his firstborn right for a bowl of soup? And then he is disguising himself as his brother and deceives his father. And you call him the pillar of truth. The Rav Dessler has got a whole thing about what is truth and what is a lie. And we have to understand that one of the sources of understanding what is really true and what is lie is our parsha. Because when we look at what's happening with Yaakov, he doesn't look exactly the pillar of truth. We can choose Avram, we can choose Yitzchak, but to choose Yaakov, says the Rav Dessler, if the truth serves the truth, or in other words, serves the right side, the good side,
it is true.
But if the truth, or in other words, the facts, serve the evil side, this is not truth, this is a lie. And the other side around also. If the lie serves the lie, it's a lie. But if the lie serves the truth, it's not a lie anymore, it's a truth.
It's like a proof.
It's very hard to understand. Because we are being told that we should not lie. Mm-hmm. And here, we are being told differently. The thing is that it's very easy to try and be righteous and tell the facts as they are, even though it's going to harm somebody. And then we are justifying ourselves that we are people of truth. We just said the facts. For example, my cousin, Alav HaSholom, he had around 50-60 restaurants here in Israel. And at the Gulf War, as we all know, business didn't go, especially restaurants. Nobody was sitting in a restaurant. Definitely not in the middle of Tel Aviv. Now, he had those restaurants all over Israel. Now, think to yourself what's happening to somebody who's got restaurants, and there is food, meat and other stuff that, you know, you cannot hold it. it goes off. Somebody, we owed him around, let's say, 10,000 shekel. Now, you have to understand, 10,000 shekel, when you're talking about somebody who's got 50, 60 restaurants, is like 10 agorot. It's nothing. But he went to the papers and wrote that Manfred Katz owes him 10,000 shekel. Didn't pay him on time. And you know, of course, when everybody's reading this, all those he owes the money come to him and want the money. And you're talking about big money. And how can he pay in one go to everybody he owes him when his restaurants were shut down for a few weeks? And he lost the business because of this. Because of what? Because of somebody telling a fact. The truth. But is this really truth? No. The Rav Dessler says no. That is definitely not true. It's very easy for us to hide ourselves behind facts. But what is the acid of truth? What should it serve? What do you think? Should it serve evil or good?
Good.
Good. Because otherwise it's not truth. And somebody, you know, you have what you call white lies. Sometimes you have to lie. Now, if you can bend things and sometimes even don't say anything, but sometimes you have to say something that is not exactly the truth in order to save somebody. And in this case, it's not a lie. It's a truth. The problem is, who decides what is true and what is a lie? That's the problem. But that is our fight in life. And the Rav Dessler says that each one of us got a truth point inside. And it tells him, what I'm going to say now is good or bad. So if it's good, it's truth. And if it's bad, it's a lie. Now let's see what's happening here with Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav are two brothers. They are not only brothers, they are twins. And those twins go in different ways. And because they go in different ways, we have a problem. Now Yitzchak and Rivka are looking at the same picture in a different way. Or how we say, there are two sides to a coin. And what is really happening here? I talked about it this week also. Is it that Rivka loves Yaakov and doesn't love Esav? Or Yitzchak loves Esav and doesn't love Yaakov? It's hard to believe. So why Yitzchak wants to bless Esav, which we all know, and definitely Yitzchak is not stupid, he also knows that Esav is not exactly a tzaddik. From the other side, why is Rivka doing all this mess in order to take the blessing from her son, Esav, and give it to the other son? There's, of course, also the question, why Esav is so desperate to get the blessing? Because Yitzchak, what is he going to bless him? Yitzchak is spiritual. Does Esav really want spiritual blessing?
But isn't he right?
Giving Esav's blessing.
Isn't that his right? As a firstborn, was he the firstborn of the twins?
Yeah, but he sold his firstborn rights. But that's not the point. The point is we want to understand what is Esav's thinking.
Yeah, but doesn't he get double if he's the firstborn? So he's greedy. He wants the
It's a blessing. It's not what he's getting or not getting. It's only the blessing now. We're talking only about the blessing. Selling the rights doesn't have anything to do now with the blessing. From the point of view of what is he going to get or not. He sold the rights years ago. We don't talk about it now. Now we're talking about why Esav. Okay, if Esav would have said, I want my firstborn rights, so you are right what you're saying. But that's not what he's talking about. He is talking about why did I lose the blessing? And he's getting very, very upset about it. And the Torah is like saying it in very strong words. Here. Perek Kaf Zayin, Pasuk 34. Got it? Bishmo Esav Divrei Aviv. When Esav heard what his father is telling him, that he lost a blessing, Vayitzak Tzeaka Gdola Umara Admeod. This is a very hard description.
Yeah.
He yelled a big, like really yelled from all his heart. Admeod. It was very, very upset. Why is he so upset about a blessing? He's not, if we look at the figure of Esav, he's not somebody who runs to tzaddikim to get blessings.
But he knew he deserved something. He comes from...
Okay, so he's upset. I lost a blessing. So he could be upset about it. But this is not upset. This is something crucial. By Yitzhak Tzaka, he cried.
He's very upset.
Very, very upset. Why? Okay, let's understand generally what's going on here. Yitzhak knows exactly who is he dealing with. He knows exactly who Esav is. He's also, Esav is not exactly a yeshiva bocher. You know, Esav is somebody who goes around. He needs to be outside. He's hunting.
His father liked him for this.
Liked him for what?
In the beginning, he said that he...
This is interesting, but when you look at what's written here, like he forced himself to love Esav. It's not Rivka ohevet, but Rivka is loving in the past, like it's past progressive, whatever you call it. It's something that it's normal. It's definitely she loves her son, and that's it. But for Yitzchak to love Esav is vayehehav. He had to try hard to love him. But yes, it's written that he loved Esav. Kitzayit befiv. You have to understand Esav. Well, had a kibud avahem, a great kibud avahem. He was honoring his father in an unbelievable way. Yeah, we cannot take it from him. We learn kibud avahem from Esav. It's not so simple. So, it's got a good side. The point is, what is Yitzchak thinking when he wants to bless Esav? Yitzchak is thinking to himself, I've got two sons. And definitely, Yitzchak and Rivka love both sons. It's the children. And every normal parent loves his children, especially when talking about Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak knows that he's got two sons. One is a villain. And the other one is a good boy, sits and learns the whole day. Says, how do I make sure that both my children have good life? Because that's what every father wants. So he thinks to himself, he says, one, I've got an idea. The Malbim says that the whole world goes to a point when the tzaddik is sitting and learning, and is being provided by the others. Or, as we know, with the 12th tribe, we have Yisachar and Zvulun. Yisachar sat and learned, and Zvulun went out to bring Parnosa, to provide. And this is exactly what Yitzchak wants to do. He's saying, 1 minute, I've got this guy, Yaakov, he's all right, I've got no problem with him. The problem is that I want him to go on sitting learning, but who is going to give him food on the table? Who is going to put food on his table if he's not going to work? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bless, and the blessing is not spiritual at all. It's a normal blessing of prosperous and have money, have all the good things. V'itel lecha Elokim ital ha-shamayim ve'rov dagan v'tirosh. In other words, it's a very materialistic blessing. Why?
How does he know that his son will honor that blessing.
That's what Yitzchak thinks. But Rivka doesn't think like this, and we'll see it in a minute. So Yitzchak thinks, I'm going to bless Esav, giving him all the power, and now Esav, because he's got all the power, he can look after his brother that sits and learns. In this case, both of them will be satisfied. Why? Yaakov can go on learning, and Esav doesn't need to go to learn. Why? Because if he provides Yaakov, he's got a part of his Torah. So both of them are going to get Olam Haba with no problem. There is only one problem. Yitzchak sees the picture from the outside. Rivka sees the picture from the inside. As we say all the time, that women have the power to look inside. Men have the power to look outside. Of course in different levels, but we're not going to go into it now. Anyway, Rivka listens to what's happening and she understands a very simple fact. Esav, if he is going to get more than what he's got already, not only is not going to help his brother, it's not going to help him. Because when you give a drug addict money, what is he doing with the money? Buys more drugs. So if you give a villain like Esav more, what is he going to do with the more? More evil things.
Make list.
So how can I fix the picture? Thinks Rivka to herself. Oh, I've got a beautiful solution. I'm going to make Yitzchak bless Yaakov instead of Esav. And if the tzaddik, which is Yaakov, is going to go at all the blessing, what is he going to do? Is he going to help his brother or not? Now his brother is going to be under him. In other words, he's going to need the help from Yaakov. Is Yaakov going to help him or not?
Yeah.
Of course. He's a tzaddik. He loves his brother. So in this case, what Rivka is doing really, loving both of children and making sure that both of them also will get Olam Haba.
On the other hand,
yes.
Yaakov took his
birthright?
His blessing?
Yeah.
How did he love him if he took that away from him?
Because you see, the firstborn, we're thinking of firstborn, two parts. That's not the firstborn. The firstborn, before the sin of the golden calf, they had the job to worship God. They were the eldest in the house. He was the one in charge of the holy work. Do you think that Esav wants to do this work? He wants to be a Kohen, Esav? Definitely not. That's why he didn't. The Torah is mentioning very clearly, "Vayivez Esav et ha-bchora." He didn't want those birthrights. He didn't want the job that comes with it. That's why he was prepared to give it for nothing. Because one of the question is, how is this a sale at all? This is like lying. Let's say if somebody's got a diamond that's worth $1 million. And somebody's going to con him and buy the diamond with 10 shekel. What are you going to do? You're going to cancel the buyer. This is not fair. This is not a deal, especially that is going to exist in the eyes of God. So what's happening here? The Torah tells you very clearly. If we go back to the selling of the Korah, Perek Kafhei, Pasuk.
What's Kafhei?
Pasuk 12, Kafhei 25. Perek 25, Pasuk 32. Got it?
25, is it?
Perek 25.
It's 36.
It's in the beginning of the parsha.
Vayomer
Esav, Ine Anochi Olech Lamut, I'm going to die. Velama ze li b'chora. And what profit Shall the birthright do to me?
But Esau said this.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
He's going to die.
No. Yaakov is telling him in the first before, Yaakov, sell me your birthright.
To me.
What is Esau answering? I'm going to die anyway. I don't need those birthright.
So that's a funny answer.
Yeah. So we understand that the answer is not really talking about what we think. Something deeper is inside here. And then, Vayomer Yaakov Yishav'a li kayom, Vayishab'a lo. Now you see, Yaakov is not only doing a deal with, okay, I sell. No, he's telling him to swear that he sells it to him. And then, in Pasuk 34, at the end, Vayochal vayesht vayakom vayelech vayivez Esav et habchora. And he despised the birthright. So the Torah is telling you very clearly what Esav thinks on those birthrights. It's very easy to look at a picture and don't look into what's written. But when you look at what's written, you see very clear that this guy didn't want the birthright. He was more than happy to get rid of those birthrights. What Yaakov did, just closed the deal that is going to be done. But Esav is like, you've got something that you don't need. For example, you have an old phone. And you have all the parts for this phone. You bought a new phone. Now, all the old parts are worth something for you?
No.
Somebody comes to you, and he's got the old phone, and he needs all the parts. For him, it's worth something?
Yes.
Of course. Yeah. Now, you're going to be stupid to give it to him free. He needs it. For him, it's worth a lot. For you, it's worth nothing. So you can look at it from both sides. From his side, he's willing to pay money for those parts. From your side, it's worth nothing. So even if you're going to sell it for 2 shekel, 10 shekel, 20 shekel, 50 shekel, you sold it. Though for him it's worth much more. So what? For you it's worth nothing. You don't care about it. And this is exactly what's happening here. And that's a deal. For Esav, the birthright are worth nothing. Because otherwise it's not reasonable that anybody is going to sell something for a bowl of soup. But now, when we understand he was more than happy to get rid of those birthright, we understand there's no problem. Why was he happy to get rid of the birthright? Because those birthright means
responsibility.
Says Rashi, Ine anochi ha'olech lamut, I'm going to die. Like he says, though the job of the Bchora is going to go anyway to Shevet Levi, eventually. And then also, says Rashi, what's this Avodah that I have to do? So what is Yaakov telling him? You know, if somebody does the job not in the right way, he's going to be punished severely. If a Levi doesn't do his job, and if a Kohen doesn't do his job, sometimes it's death. It's not a game. So Esav said, I'm going to die. That's what he's saying.
I'm not prepared to do anything.
No, I don't want to go in there, because if I'm going to go in, I'm going to die, because I cannot do this. Mm-hmm. It's not me. Take it. So now we see that this selling of the Bchorah, it's no problem. It is a sell. Esav didn't want it. And then the Torah is getting even more. Says Vayivez Esav et HaBchorah. He despised the birthright. So it's a done deal.
Yeah.
Everybody's satisfied. Then we go to the blessing. The blessing, Yitzchak wants to bless Esav because he thinks he's going to fix things this way. And me and Rivka sees the inside of the story and she understands that he's going to lose both children.
They knew about this birthright.
Who?
The parents.
I don't know. The Torah doesn't mention that they knew about it. He's saying it. Esav, at the end of the parashah, saying, "V'yakveni ze pa'amayim." Twice he went over me. Once is the blessing, and the once before is when he sold him the Bchorah. But you know, okay, so we understand what Rivka is thinking. We understand what Yitzchak is thinking. But why Esav wants this blessing so much? Because you're talking about, if you want to understand it like in today, in our daily life, it's like thinking about one of the criminals going to get a blessing from the Rav Kanievsky.
I think that Esav is giving a raw deal
on this thing. He's what?
He's giving a raw deal. I don't think he's as bad as everybody says he is. He's not,
What do you mean bad?
Wicked.
See, the point is, people think that Esav is a guy with tattoos and skinhead and piercing all over his body. No, Esav looked exactly like Yaakov. They learned in the same place. And by the way, we mentioned it already a few times. The head of Esav is buried in Maarat HaMachpelah. Why is his head buried in Maarat HaMachpelah? What merit did he have to have his head with all the holy fathers?
Why only his head?
Because in his head, he knew exactly what Yaakov knows. He had all the Torah in his head. The problem is, it was not connected to his body. You see, you can know a lot of things. We know we're not allowed to do this, we're allowed to do this. But what do we really do? You know that it's not healthy to smoke. But a lot of people smoke. You know it's not healthy to eat fat food. But a lot of people eat fat. There are a lot of things that we do and we know it's not good for us. And it's the same story here. So Esav knows the Torah. And by the way, we have another figure in the Bible that does the same thing. Bilam HaRasha. Bilam HaRasha knows God. He is at the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah. And what is he saying? Tamot nafshi mot yesharim v'ti achariti kamo. I want to die like the Jews. I want to have the same end. What does it mean, the same end? He wants Olam Haba. Yeah. He wants the next world. He wants to live the life running after all the joys and lust and going and doing all the bad things of the world. But he wants Olam Haba. He wants the next world. But nobody. And that's exactly what Esav wanted. Esav told to himself, I've got a tzaddik father. Olat mima. I can do whatever I want to. There is a blessing waiting for me. Now, if I get this blessing, if I get the blessing, if I get the blessing, I'm going to get Olam Haba. That's why he's so upset. Because now we understand I lost it. I lost Olam Haba. And knowing how important Olam Haba is, because as we said, and you said also, is not such a villain as we think. He knows exactly. He knows exactly what is Olam Hazeh and what is Olam Haba. But he wants to enjoy life. That's what we're saying. Yeah. So, but that's exactly the point.
So no one's
perfect. He's not. Don't make him a tzaddik. Yes, he's not a tzaddik. Yes, definitely not. But we have to understand when the Torah is talking about Esav, the Torah is talking about us. In each one of us, there is a small Esav and a small Yaakov. That's how we work.
Rabbi Bell is suggesting he used to, on Purim, he used to sometimes imitate from the Torah, and he did once Esav.
People don't realize it. That's why his head is buried in Maarat HaMachpelah. Esav knew a lot. That's why he's trying to trick his father with all those questions. He's not stupid. He is just He wants to enjoy life.
He wants the best of it.
Except what? Exactly.
Like most of it.
That's why he knows there is Olam Haba. And he wants Olam Haba. But he's relying on the blessing. That's why when the day comes and he realizes that he lost the blessing, he's finished. That's why he's so upset. So that's why Esav wants the blessing. Now, why is Yaakov doing all this thing? We understand Rivka, but Yaakov, why is he going into it? Why does he need this blessing? He is a tzaddik. The God is going to help him, give him everything. Because Yaakov took the blessing, says the Rav Yitzchak Bernstein Zatzal, for us. For his children. And his great children. That will not be exactly tzaddikim like Yaakov. So they will need as much blessing as there is. So he took the blessing. And that's what Rivka saw. Because Rivka is also not thinking about now. What's going to happen in the future? And Rivka knows that if the power is going to be in the hand of the tzaddik is going to try and fix the whole world, including her other son, Esau. And in this way, and by the way, that's the end of the world, that's the way it's going to be. Everybody's going to worship God, even Esau. But it has to come from us. So that's why we need the power. We need the blessing. And that's what Rivka is doing. So we understand Rivka, we understand Yitzchak, we understand Esav, and we understand Yaakov. Unfortunately, Yitzchak, by the way, realizes that though Yaakov lied to him, he deserves the blessing. Because he's saying it very clearly. When we go again back to the end of the parsha, what do we see? Perek Kaf Zayin 27, Pasuk. Pasuk 33. Vayecherad, you got it?
Yeah.
Vayecherad Yitzhak Charada Gdola Ad Meod. What is he saying here? Very, Ad Meod.
Very much so.
Extendedly. In other words, very, very. Does it remind you something that we read before? Esav is also Tzaka Gdola Mara Ad Meod. When he found out that he's not getting the blessing. Now, both sides seeing the real picture. What is Yitzchak really seeing? You see, this Yitzchak, a few years ago, he was going to be sacrificed to God by his father. And then is nothing written that he was frightened? Nothing mentioned. Here, because he blessed somebody else, he's frightened? And nevertheless, what is he saying? Vayomer, miefo, who is the one who brought the hand to me and brought me and I food? And I blessed him. And what he's saying? Ve'gam baruch iye. This is very strange. You know, if you steal a blessing, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
Only if you deserve it, the blessing is going to occur. But what is Yitzchak saying?
Okay.
That the blessing is going staying with him. In other words, he deserves the blessing.
So he
realized. Of course he realized. It's Yitzchak. In other words, so why is he so frightened? Because now, when Esav came in and he realized that it's Esav, they say he saw hell opened in front of him. And he was thinking, wow, if I would have given the blessing to him, I would have destroyed everything I built. How lucky I am that I blessed my other son. And he's blessed. And it's everything is written here. And if you want to go a little farther into the story, Yaakov is coming in. He's talking to his father. His father understands something is wrong. Because, is it you, Esav? And he's asking it twice. And then he's not satisfied. He's coming, come to me, I want to touch you. And he's not also not satisfied. After he eats, he says, come here, I want to hug you. In other words, Yitzchak is using all his senses to understand who is this guy in front of me. And what does it mean? That it's Esav? Or maybe not. Maybe not. Because if it was Esav, he wouldn't do all those tests. But the point is that Yaakov goes all through all those tests and makes Yitzchak sure that it doesn't matter who this guy is, he deserves the blessing. How do we see it? Pasuk. What? Yeah. But before, when he blesses him, before he blesses him, he realized it's not so simple. Because Yitzchak realizes before he blesses the blessing that the guy in front of him deserves the blessing. How do we see this? Go back to Pasuk 27.
They drew close and kissed him.
Yeah. And Vaigash Vaishaklo and
his garments and blessed him.
And said, Vayomer, Re'e, Re'ach bni kereach sade asher beracho.
Sade.
Hashem.
Which Hashem had blessed.
In other words, you smell of a field which the Lord
blessed.
What do you need anymore? Are you going to smell a smell like this if something is wrong or fishy here? What do you think?
No.
Of course not. He understands you are blessed. Your smell is like a blessing of God. So you are the one who deserves. And then, only then he blesses him. And if you go back, you will see all the stages till we get to Vayiten Lecha. Only now, after all the tests, and after he hugs him, and he's close to him, and he realizes, this guy deserves the blessing.
But that blessing?
Doesn't matter what blessing. He deserves the blessing that he wanted to give.
The one that he wanted to give.
And that's why, when Esav comes in, and Yitzchak realizes that he was a minute before doing the biggest mistake of his life. That's why he was frightened. He saw hell opened in front of him.
It's sad.
It was. You see, what is it sad? The Torah is telling us what's happening inside us. You see, the Kabbalah, on Kabbalah they say that whatever happens in the outside happens in the inside. Whatever we see, whatever we read, it's really, the human being is built like the world, and the world is built like the world up, the upper world. And if we want to learn from it's the spiritual world on the physical world, they're all connected. It's all the same story in different clothes. So what is the Torah trying to tell us in this story? That there is an Esav, and there is a Yaakov. And there is a Yitzchak and there is a Rivka. In other words, don't only look at things from the outside. Try and look inside. Use your female powers. And not only your male power. And by the way, when I say male and female, I'm talking about each one of us. Doesn't matter. In each one of us, there is both powers. Female power and man power. That's why you see sometimes that when the man power, the male power is stronger, so you can see a woman that acts a little like a man. I mean, she's got a manly behavior. From the other side, you see men that their side, the woman's side, the female side is stronger. So you see him acting like he's feminine, like he behaves more like a woman. It doesn't make him, by the way, gay or something. No. Nothing to do with it. So in other words, the Torah is telling us you have to use both powers. That's the story behind. And you have to understand that when we're talking about Esav and Yaakov, it's inside of us. We have the Yaakov and we have the Esav. We have the Esav that wants to enjoy this world and getting the blessing. So the Torah is telling him, no, it doesn't work like this. Only if Yaakov is going to worship God and do the right thing, then he's going to be deserved to Olam Haba. And there is another lesson here. Why really is not Yitzchak blessing them in a spiritual blessing? Because Akol bidei shamayim chutz miyirat shamayim. Yirat shamayim, the fear of God. In other words, everything is from God. Wealth, health. Only one thing we have to do by ourselves. The fear of God. Worshipping God. That's our job. And without this, nothing happens. In other words, Esav, his thought that he could be blessed in getting the next world is a big mistake. Doesn't work. You cannot be blessed like this. Like once I went to the Reb Chaim Kanievsky and asked him to bless my son that he's going to be a Talmid Chochem. You know what he told me? Send him to a Talmud Torah. Yes, sorry.
To learn. Why do they use the word fear?
Well, regarding what?
No, I'm just saying, when you translate the word fear, because fear is frightened. Must we fear God?
Fear? Not really fear. More
to be in awe. Yes, but why do we use the word?
Because that's what they that's a simple word to translate it. But that's not the meaning.
It's not the meaning.
No, it's not the meaning of being frightened. It is being frightened, but not in the way you think. It's like we have to understand. When we know who God is, the more we know, the more the fear of God we've got. What fear of God have we got? That realizing who God is and how good He is, and He gave us everything and He is everything. In other words, our fear is that He's going to leave us. That's the biggest fear. And the minute you understand this, that's the fear. That's the fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like what did God do with the snake? He told them, you know what? I don't want to know anything about you. You can find your food wherever you want. But don't pray to me. Don't come to me. I don't want to have anything to do with you. So, after understanding what's going on in the parsha regarding the blessing and the birthright, we have to take what we can, or what we understand, into our daily life. And to understand the truth is not always truth. In other words, facts are not always, even if they are right, they are not always the truth. Sometimes telling facts, real facts, telling facts is going to be a lie. Because we don't look at things only from the outside. It's like this guy, he was going in the street on Shabbos and he sees one of the yeshiva bochrim going into a taxi and driving on Shabbos. And he may have went immediately and told all the guys in the yeshiva, you know this, Yossi? He drives on Shabbos. He ruins the shidduch, he ruined everything for him. And what was it? Pikuach nefesh.
Yeah.
This is when
that
is when you say facts without knowing what's the inside. So he said a fact.
But now my grandchildren will never tell against, one of them did something wrong. And I said to my grandchild, they would not, what's the name, tell on their brother or sister.
My grandmother, she used to say, God is more forgiving than people. And once or twice she had to go to the doctor on Shabbat. She walked around the corner
Yeah, so people want to, yeah.
Yeah. And some pick me up around the corner because I don't want anybody to see me.
Yeah, yeah, and that's exactly what we're talking about.
She said, God is forgiving, but people aren't.
Yeah, yeah, I was in the Nedrak. I stayed there because Willie was in hospital in Michalov, and I wanted to go and visit him. So I put on my walking shoes and a bag on my back, and I walked. It was supposed to be an Erev.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was walking along, and somebody made a remark to me, you know,
they'd seen you.
I said, I'm going to visit my husband in hospital.
Yeah,
shut up after that.
Yeah. But and that, unfortunately, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah,
yes.
Judge you by.
Yeah, but that's what we're learning now. So what should we do? Not judge nobody if we don't know the whole story.
We're not the judge. That's right. Of course. Not for us to judge.
Ezrat Hashem, I hope we learn something.
To be a judge. Yeah. Yeah.